Hi, everyone. My name is Renee Callanan, and I'm a chronic disease epidemiologist and working at the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. I'm a CDC employee assigned there through Colorado's request for direct assistance to CDC through their 1305 and tobacco grants. And I'll be talking about some data collection methods that we're using to meet increasing demands for data in Colorado. So population-based surveys are critical for surveillance of chronic diseases, conditions, and related behaviors, and assessment of health disparities in Colorado. Two of the key adult health surveys in Colorado are the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System and the tobacco, it used to be called that. The Attitudes and Behavior Survey on Health, or TABS, which used to start with tobacco, but now, since 2012, we've been including a lot of other content on chronic diseases. These telephone surveys have been conducted for many years and provide quality data that are widely accepted by stakeholders in Colorado, and the surveys provide useful data, but they're also very costly, and there's a delay between completion of data collection and data availability. So both the BRFSS and TABS are facing challenges. Telephone surveys are facing decreased response rates and high termination rates. For example, in 2015 in Colorado, the BRFSS completion times were an average of 25 minutes, and the range was from 20 to 40 minutes, and there was a 13.5% termination rate. This shows that we're really asking a lot of BRFSS, and if we add more questions, then we might not get good data, especially on the questions near the end of the survey. Telephone surveys have also increased costs, in part due to interviewers needing to dial more telephone numbers more times to get the same sample size. So the costs are higher, but federal funding has decreased. Amid all those challenges, we have another positive challenge that there's increasing demand for data. Stakeholders are requesting and using data more and more. So therefore, in 2016, the State Health Department began looking at innovative options to meet the needs of stakeholders who desire to have BRFSS state-added questions and to collect the data that TABS provides in the current form. So we set out to conduct two alternative data collection pilot projects as a proof of concept. One was an online panel survey, and the other was an online follow-up survey to the BRFSS. And we evaluated the attributes of each pilot survey. So next I'll focus on describing the methods and of each of these pilot surveys and some select results, and then I'll discuss our conclusions from each and the next steps. But first, I want to talk about what is an online panel survey. A panel is a group of individuals who have agreed to participate in future surveys. They are often followed over many years and participate in numerous surveys. They vary in the different online panel surveys available from different vendors, vary in size and sampling methodology, with some being probability-based samples and others non-probability samples. These panels and their survey methodologies have traditionally been used primarily in market research companies. But more recently, they have been used by other sectors, including public health. And there is currently a debate on probability versus non-probability surveys, and the research continues on the comparison between the two. In 2010, the American Association of Public Opinion Research published a report that concluded that non-probability samples should not be used if the goal was to make accurate population estimates, which I'm not quite sure who would not want to make accurate population estimates, but But over time, researchers and sample vendors have developed technologies and statistical techniques aimed at improving the representativeness of online probability surveys. In 2016, the Pew Research Center published a report that concluded that data quality varies widely across vendors due to substantial differences in how they recruit participants, select their samples, field the surveys, and weight the data. So they also concluded that a representative demographic profile does not predict accuracy. So in other words, as they state, it does not do much good to get the marginal distribution of Hispanics correct if the surveyed Hispanics are systematically different than the Hispanics in the larger population. They note that they are conducting additional research to test different and more complex approaches to weighting and to assess the efficacy of reducing bias in these surveys. And then finally, the Pew report notes that increasingly researchers are pointing out that a probability-based survey that has a high non-response rate, when it has a high non-response rate, the tools for remediation and the assumptions underpinning the survey estimates are similar, if not identical, to those used with non-probability-based samples. So as the BRFSS gets higher non-response rates, some of the same techniques are being used to adjust the data to produce the final estimates. So for our online survey panel in Colorado, we hired a contractor to work with the vendor, and we rented a panel from one of these national online panels, and this particular panel was a non-probability sample. The respondents were adult residents of Colorado, and they received an online survey link via email. And there were 43 BRFSS questions adapted for electronic survey, but there were skip patterns, so not every respondent answered 43 questions. They received an incentive to participate through the marketing research company. We had a targeted sample size of 1,100, and this pilot project was funded through marijuana and tobacco funding. We are required to monitor the health effects of marijuana in Colorado through the health bill that legalized marijuana. So the survey was conducted in April 2016. It was open for 12 days, and we used ranking ratio estimation to weight the data, similar to how we weight BRFSS data. We had a final sample of 935. We don't have enough information to calculate a response rate. And the survey was completed in a mean of about 7.5 minutes. The median was closer to 5. So with an electronic survey, you can leave and come back to it. And some of them were like hours long, you know. So it's important to look at the median. And here's the weighted estimates comparing demographics of our panel, our BRFSS, and the American Community Survey. So the online panel survey had a higher percentage of female respondents, those aged 25 to 64, more white, non-Hispanic white, higher percentage married persons, and those with college degrees, more likely to have health care coverage, but employment status was about the same. Now looking at some select indicators, these are again weighted estimates, and we'll compare the panel result to the BRFSS confidence interval. So binge drinking and obesity were higher in the panel survey, and that kind of goes along with how, you know, NHANES shows higher prevalence of obesity than BRFSS, and we're thinking that it's self-reported, but you're not talking to an interviewer, you're marking it on the electronic survey, so it might be more accurate. Some indicators that were lower in the panel survey were current smoking, quit attempt among current smokers, and perceived risk of daily marijuana smoking. And there was no difference in marijuana use, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Now moving on to our BRFSS e-follow-up survey. The sampling frame for this is all 2017 BRFSS cell phone respondents. So this is a project that's currently in the field. So if the cell phone respondent consents to participate in this additional survey, they're sent an online survey link via SMS. And there are 53 behavioral health and paradata questions. Paradata was a new term for me. It's data about the data collection. So we ask, what kind of device are you using to complete this survey, and things like that. We have shared funding to do this pilot project. We're sharing an FTE and sharing software costs. Other costs include the $20 incentive that folks get for completing the survey, and it costs a penny to send each SMS. We're targeting a sample size of about 100 per month. We're getting a little bit more than that. So this busy diagram shows the flow of the survey. So if a cell phone respondent consents to the e-follow-up on Tuesday evening, following that interview, the SMS message is sent out. If they haven't responded by Thursday morning, they get a reminder. And then on Friday mornings, the reward codes for the e-gift card are distributed. So we have to include, like, at the end of the message that they can text STOP to stop receiving any additional messages, and only 9 recipients so far have texted STOP. We have a high consent to the e-follow-up survey at about 74% currently, but about 40% are actually completing the survey. So we'll see how this changes throughout the process, and we're considering kind of a midstream change so that we can look at some different, what's the best time to send the reminder and things like that, so that we can compare for this pilot project. So these are unweighted estimates, 11 weeks in, so very preliminary, but I just wanted to give a sense of, like, the questions we're asking and the kind of data that we'll be looking at the end. So we ask questions on, what's the most common alcoholic drink that you've had in the past 30 days? And then among binge drinkers, we ask if they drove after the last time they binge drank. And we ask about perceived risks of electronic vapor product use. And it's interesting, about almost half say that there's either no risk or slight risk of secondhand vapor exposure. We have a series of questions on chronic pain and opioid use. So about 39% say they experience chronic pain, and 17% say, of the total population, say that that pain is not managed. And very similarly to the data that was presented in the plenary session, 1 in 5 have used opioids in the past 12 months. And of the opioid users, 27% say that they've taken those opioids more than prescribed. And then we have a series of questions about firearms, and 38% say that they have firearms in or around the house. So this table shows a comparison of the survey attributes. where BRFSS, you know, stands out right now, at least, is that it's, you know, the traditional data source and is widely accepted by stakeholders. It's been pretty stable, although the funding levels are concerning. The representativeness of BRFSS is better than the other two types of surveys, and the data quality is strong for BRFSS. The panel does much better in flexibility, simplicity, low cost, and timeliness. You know, we did the survey in 12 days and immediately had the data. So that's not good if you have questions that would be affected by seasonality. But again, if you, for certain reasons, you know, that might be needed where you need data quickly. And for this panel survey, the strengths were that it was fast and efficient and cost-effective. We're saying that it's a good fit for purpose, so you really have to consider why you need particular data and if this would really be the appropriate method. There's a possibility to oversample certain populations because you can, you know, request these, you know, there's certain demographics that are already known about the panel members, and so you can have it sent to only current smokers or only Hispanics or something like that. But there's a lot of limitations. There's unknowns about the sampling frame, so there's unknown bias. The research on statistical calibration is ongoing, so the interpretation of the 95% confidence interval for this type of data is unknown. It's not ideal for population-based surveillance because you don't understand the sampling frame and you don't know how much you would be surveying the same people. So the lessons learned are that the survey, we wish we would have had survey questions that can be used to assess bias in the sample. Other studies have included things that they can compare to the general population, like civic engagement, voter registration, driver's license. So it's been shown that sometimes these panel surveys have a lot higher civic engagement than the general population. And then for the BRFSS-E follow-up survey, the strengths are that it is also cost-effective and it's flexible. And, you know, we could determine the questions ourselves and develop the survey instrument ourselves. The timeliness and acceptability are fair, and you can link the data back to the BRFSS, and the weighting is simple. So those are some really big strengths. And the challenges are really about the SMS distribution. The Telephone Consumer Protection Act restricts automation of reminder SMS, so that's why we do all the batching and sending things on Tuesdays and Thursdays and then the rewards on Fridays. We're restricted to 160 characters per message, which is difficult when you work at the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. So, and you really want to keep it that way so that the text isn't broken up and the link isn't broken. And then there's just the research on SMS distribution is just emerging. So an online panel survey could be an option for special data needs if there's an emerging topic. And cell phone surveys are a viable means to recruit for online surveys. So right now it's very important that we have continued support for BRFSS and or other telephone surveys. That's where we're drawing our sample from. And our next steps in Colorado are to begin planning the next iteration of TABS. So we don't know yet what we're going to do, what methodology we're considering, you know, changing things up a bit. We also have another follow-up survey to the BRFSS called the Child Health Survey, and so we're considering moving that from a telephone follow-back to electronic. And then we're also pilot testing recruitment to an online panel survey of our own panel among women who recently gave birth. So, and I forgot an acknowledgement slide, but there were certainly a lot of people in Colorado and our contractor who helped with this work, and our CSE fellow too. So thank you. Yes, when we did the panel survey, we also did a small pilot that we're not really talking about because we sent postcards out and tried to recruit into a panel, and it was abysmal, the response. So we really didn't get any data from that.
And none of these used incentives?
The panel survey, they get an incentive through the marketing research company, you know whatever. It's not even really clear. You don't get a lot of information, as it's a lot of it's proprietary, but they get rewards for participating in these surveys. Oh, and well, so the other survey also had an incentive. So the BRFSS e follow up has a $20 e gift card. We utilize our contractor who had experience. So, that's all I can really say. I wasn't really involved in the decision there. But, our contractor really selected the vendor. Sorry, can't speak more to that. One more?
Yeah, I think we have time for one more.
We will once it's complete. Yeah, we're going to continue collecting data through the end of the year, just like BRFSS, and then we'll do a lot of different comparisons and validations and comparing, importantly, comparing those who participate to the BRFSS sample, so respondents to non-respondents. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Renee.